Live from the WBZH studios in downtown Hayward, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin. Thank you, Terry Barr, for that great introduction, as always. And joined by our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers, back high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, at our worldwide headquarters there at WMDX and Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, TGI Friday. It is the 23rd of February, 2023. We have reached the end of another week.
That we have. We've also reached the end. Well, today we will be reaching the end of the 3-hour Todd Albaugh Show.
Yes. And much to the happiness of many listening. So, yes, very good. We appreciate the applause there. Yes, it has been a pleasure to be filling in here for a 3-hour edition, but this will be the last 3-hour edition. And then on Monday, the Maggie Dawn Show moves into the afternoon. She'll be there from 2 until 4. So, we'll return back to our normal noon till 2 time slot. So, it's been fun. I mean, we started out this show a year and a half ago as a 3-hour show, and going back to that, it gives you time to talk about more things. But you know, it's also the old voice tends to go a little bit quicker. So
doesn't help that you're also filling in for Pat Kreitlow. So you're not instead of doing 2 hours, you're not doing 3. You're doing 5.
That's a fact. As they say, that's a fact, Jack. And I found out something interesting this morning. Greg Bach, of course, does the producing in the morning for Pat Kreitlow. And by the way, he filled in for Jane Matinere today as the main host. He co-hosts, of course, with Matinere on Air. Jane off today. But Greg did a great job along with Brian Kelly filling in. Ooh. So congrats to him. But Greg Bach told me this morning that I asked the question because Pat's down down south, as they say, getting some sun. And I said, is Pat just a natural tanner or does he use a little help? And I found out that Pat Kreitlow pre-tans. He goes to the tanning salon before he goes south. Nothing wrong with that. I just, I find fascinating.
Then he doesn't burn. I believe that's why people do
yes.
that.
I think you're right. But, we should do a show at a tanning salon someday. Maybe we'll see. We are here, though, doing a show at the American Burr Combiner, the 50th annual American Burr Combiner. And let me tell you, this has just been an absolute treat. I value the ability to be up here in Hayward this week. And yesterday, or last 2 days, we were joined by our program director, Catherine Lake, and we'll be hearing again some of these interviews that she has done. We'll be hearing those just a little bit later here in this half hour. And then at the bottom of the hour today, we'll be joined by Brady Ewing. He is a 3-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football, spent 3 years in the NFL, and I'll be talking a little bit of sports with him, talking about what it means to the conditioning regime of a professional athlete. And of course, Brady was a professional athlete, and many of the people here participating are professional skiers, cross-country skiers coming from all over the world. Catherine Lake talked to a couple of those folks. So we'll be talking with Brady, kind of the dedication it takes, whether it's sleep, whether it's nutrition, working out, and how that works for a professional athlete. We'll also be talking about the new Packers defensive coordinator and hearing a cut from him this afternoon as well. Spring training baseball starts tomorrow for the Milwaukee Brewers. And Brady also is doing some speaking engagement, kind of branching out, as he's just a great person. I've known him for a long, long time. Grew up in the same town. Our parents live on the same block. And Brady has a great story to tell, and he's been doing some motivational speaking, some encouragement, and so we'll be talking to Brady about kind of one of his new gigs as well. So you want to make sure you stay with us until 12:30 and hear that. Also going to be talking about what's going on down south in terms of politics. Of course, the South Carolina primary is tomorrow. We'll be previewing that, Nikki Haley and Donald Trump. I think more newsworthy and, quite frankly, more disturbing immediately is this Conservative Political Action Conference, better known as CPAC. Going to give you a couple of cuts of what's going on down there. It is nothing short of astounding when you literally have people representing a political movement, a political party in America, the Republicans, talking about literally saying this is the end of democracy. Not making this up, but you can hear it in their own words a little bit later on in this show.
Yeah, the way they're talking about it, I think maybe we should change the acronym from CPAC to CCAP, because, you know, consolidated court automation programs, you know, where you can look up court details, right. Because the stuff they're saying certainly goes against the Constitution. I mean, they're not acting on it, at least not now, but.
But it's Trigvi Olsen, who, by the way, I talked to Trigvi this morning. He said to tell you hello. He joins us usually every Wednesday. Took this week off for some other business, but he checked in this morning. He'll be back next Wednesday with us. And he said, you know, Todd, remember, I talk about often as someone who has fought against autocracies around the world, autocratic dictators, autocratic leaders will telegraph and tell you exactly what they're going to do. And that's what's happening in CPAC this week down south with these conservatives, these MAGA Republicans. They are telling us exactly what they plan to do, particularly if Donald Trump gets another term in the White House. So we'll talk about that as well. This is great. I've been telling you we're going to get to it, and Mr. Zommer is going to hold me to it today. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker had a great commencement address at Northwestern, and he told people, quote, the best way to spot an idiot, unquote. And it has to do with empathy and compassion, and I think he nails it. And so we're going to hear from him today, and I think it'll make you feel better when we talk about that as well. A little bit about Ukraine and your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. But at 13 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, we are going to take a look at the breaking news headline of the day. And that comes to us, the person that broke it was J.R. Ross at WisPolitics this morning. And this is astounding. It is not good news for the Trumpster or the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. The State Ethics Commission of Wisconsin alleges Donald Trump's joint fundraising committee and Republican state representative Janelle Brandigan, schemed to evade campaign finance limits as a part of the effort that steered at least $40,000 to the 2022 primary challenge of Speaker Robin Voss, according to records obtained by WisPolitics. Again, WisPolitics doing a great job of getting it done and breaking this story over there. Congratulations to J.R. Ross, great reporter at WisPolitics. The commission this week, according to WisPolitics, recommended local district attorneys investigate and charge both, as well as the campaign of Adam Steen, who lost to Robin Voss by only 260 votes. Eight individuals and the three county Republican parties alleged to be involved. The referrals accuse Steen, Brandigan, the Save America Joint Fundraising Committee, and others of committing felonies. Felonies. The records also show the commission looked into a $40,000 donation by, you guessed it, MyPillow guy, CEO Mike Lindell, gave one of the county parties a $4,000 donation. But the commission decided there was not sufficient evidence to prove he actually intended the donation to benefit Steen's campaign. So a thinking person could look at this and say, well, clearly Lindell, along with this Trump PAC, meant to kind of evade campaign finance law, but there wasn't enough evidence where they thought they could win in court, so Lindell gets off the hook on this one. The recommendations for prosecution pose another potential legal headache for Trump, who clashed with Voss in 2022 after the longtime assembly speaker refused his calls to try to overturn Wisconsin's 2020 presidential election results. The Save America Joint Funding Committee is the primary fundraising vehicle for Trump's 2024 campaign and his leadership PAC, that's Political Action Committee. The referral does not identify any individuals associated with the committee. The commission believes that should face investigation and charges. Instead, the commission found probable cause the committee and its agents, quote unquote, had violated Wisconsin's campaign finance laws. The commission alleges the participants sought to take advantage of Wisconsin's laws that place no caps or limits on the size of donations political parties may receive and allow them to make unlimited transfers to candidates. So let me stop there in this WisPolitics story and just explain this for a moment as someone who's worked in a lot of political campaigns here in Wisconsin over the years, and pardon me while I take a drink of water. Remember, it's a good time for you, the home audience and listening audience, to take a drink of water or whatever as well. So here's the deal, the way this works. In Wisconsin, depending upon whether you're running for the state legislature or U.S. Congress or Senate or president, you are limited as an individual of how much money you could give said candidates by law. But in Wisconsin, an individual can give unlimited amount of money to a political party, all right? Then that political party can make a transfer to a candidate. So if you have a really rich person and they say, well, geez, I can only give you $5,000, that's it. I want to give you 25 or 30 or whatever. Well, what happens is they will give that money to the state Republican Party or a county Republican Party. And by the way, it could go to Democrats as well or any other political party. What's supposed to happen when they give the money to a party is the party is supposed to use that for their general campaigning, right? They can make a donation to a candidate, but you're not supposed to use the state party or a county party basically to launder a donation, to evade the law. That appears to be what has happened here. That's what the Wisconsin Ethics Commission is alleging. Back to this story on WisPolitics here. The heart of the effort was an arrangement between Steen, the county parties, and others to send donations to the Langlade County Republican Party. According to the investigation, Steen and campaign aides told those who wanted to give more than $1,000 limit on individual donations for the assembly candidates to send the additional contributions to the Langlade County GOP with the number 63 on it. We'll tell you what 63 means. Don't go anywhere. More on this story next at the Todd Allball Show live from Hayward, Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We are live on location at the Birkenbeiner in Hayward, Wisconsin, the 50th annual Birkenbeiner, and we're breaking down this top story of the day being broken by WisPolitics. J.R. Ross at WisPolitics doing a great job over there, telling you that the charges are against Donald Trump's political fundraising arm, and also State Representative Republican Janelle Brandegen, and also the Langlade County Republican Party. So here's the deal. The heart of this effort was an arrangement between Steen, who was Adam Steen, who was the primary opponent to Robin Voss, lost to Voss by 260 votes. An arrangement between Steen, the county parties, and others to send donations to the Langlade County Republican Party. Steen and the campaign aides who were talking to those people who wanted to give more than the $1,000 limit to Steen, told people to send contributions to the Langlade County Republican Party with the number 63 down in the memo line on the check, all right? That references the district Robin Voss represents. The number was a signal that the Langlade County Republican Party was to forward those funds or use them for in-kind donations to benefit Steen, according to the documents which were obtained by WisPolitics through an open records request. Altogether, the investigators identified more than $40,000 that the Langley County Republican Party contributed to Steen's campaign, which raised about $174,000 in 2022. A WisPolitics check of state campaign finance report found the party gave Steen's campaign $44,702 between July 7th and November 8th of that year. Could be more breaking, of course, via WisPolitics and other sources, I'm sure. But again, congrats to WisPolitics for breaking this. And what a story. I mean, just once again, we have Republicans trying to skirt the law. We we've been talking about this for a while. And again, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I've been telling you that all this upheaval within the party, it's not normal. I mean, you can say what you want. The Republican Party has a lot of faults, believe me. But one of their strengths has always been they've kind of had their act together in terms of their messaging, and everybody kind of falls in line and they coalesce. But here now, you have the Speaker of the Assembly, longtime Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, Republican, and you had parties within Wisconsin of the same party joining up to try to take him out in a primary. And you had Donald Trump joining in on this. So it's going to be very interesting as we move towards November here. And remember, the Republican National Committee, which, by the way, this weekend is set to replace Rona McDaniel as chairperson with Chris LaCivita, the de facto campaign chairperson for Trump's campaign, and also Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. So the entire party from the very top down is being taken over by Trumpsters and Trumpism. And you have to wonder what Robin Voss's future is here for a number of reasons, but not the least of which, do you really think that Donald Trump is going to want Robin Voss, a guy that he ran somebody against, and now we know that they took money directly from the Trump campaign and tried to pass it on to Voss's opponent in a primary, and did so allegedly here, according to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, illegally? I mean, we're looking at felony charges. This isn't just a slap on the wrist. These are felony charges. Do you really think that the Trump people are going to want Voss as the assembly speaker? Remember, Voss at least was not willing to take Trump's calls, it appears, in 2022 to try to overturn the election. You look at what's happened this week in the state Republican Party itself. Mark Jefferson, executive director, announced he's stepping down after it came out on 60 Minutes vis-a-vis Andrew Hitt, the immediate past chairman of the party, who said, look, I'm no longer on the Trump train. He's not the guy. Claims he was duped and tricked on these false electors. But, you know, it comes out that Mark Jefferson is saying negative things about Trump and the Trump campaign. Going to be gone. My guess is the person who replaces Mark Jefferson is going to be a Trump acolyte and willing to genuflect to the altar of Donald Trump. But if you're Brian the Shim Sham Man, Brian Arthur Shimming, the chairman of the Republican Party, who I've known a long time, not a bad guy to get a Diet Coke with on the pier down at the Edgewater. But I'll tell you, Shimming is in a terrible situation in terms of like his position as chairman of their party, the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Because you cannot be friendly towards Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, who has said he is a never-again Trumper. You can't support your immediate past chairman, Andrew Hitt, who is a never-again Trumper, and also support Trump, and also support do-nothing Derek Van Orden. Probably the biggest race in the congressional campaigns coming up in Wisconsin in the 3rd District. It's going to be a close race over there. And Van Orden just keeps getting crazier and crazier, the tweets he's sending out, by the day. So if you're Brian Shimming, the chair of the party, how do you keep this whole thing together and bring home victories in November? And here's an interesting note. And someone, again, who was in the party until 2011, for years, right? For years, Democrats would say Republicans keep outspending us. You know, we need campaign finance reform because they outspend us. And Republicans were fond of saying, look at these whiny Democrats. Look how they just whine. Hey, you want to win a life? Maybe you can't raise enough money because your ideas aren't connecting with people. We don't need campaign finance reform. You guys need to listen to Wisconsin voters better and you could raise more money. Don't be so whiny. That was literally the narrative of the Republican Party. And now this week, you know, ever since Ben Wickler came on the scene as the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Wisconsin Democrats had been outraising Republicans in the fundraising column exponentially. And now this week, Republican after Republican in Wisconsin is whining about how Democrats are outraising them and how it isn't fair and they can't get their money out or they can't get their message out because they just can't raise enough money. And this fundraising problem, let me tell you, it's not particular to Wisconsin. The RNC has major problems. They're basically broke. If you look at their last report with cash on hand and their expenses, they're in the red. The state party, not a whole lot better, I don't think. County parties are struggling to raise money, Republican parties. And now because the MAGA message isn't connecting with donors, they're whining. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. We'll stay on top of the story. Stay tuned next on the other side. We're going to be joined by Brady Ewing talking some sports and motivational speaking. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tom Ball Show live from Hayward on a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on a Friday, TGIF. We are live in Hayward, Wisconsin, the site of the Birkebeiner, the 50th anniversary of the American Birkebeiner here. We are at our studios at WBZH up here in Hayward, the Buzz of the North. Happy to be along with you on a Friday. Little Springsteen there, or the song called Springsteen, could only mean one thing. It's time for our bi-weekly visit with the one, the only. He is a three-time Big Ten champion, former captain of the Badgers, and spent 3 years in the NFL, a fellow Richland Center native, Mr. Brady Ewing. Brady, how in the heck are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
You know, I'm well. Thank you very much. I've been doing 5 hours of radio here for the last 3 days, so the old voice is a little gravelly, but I've been sleeping on a futon, the lovely accommodations of WBZH here, and it's fine. But I think I'll be happy to get back in my own bed either tonight or the next night. So we'll see.
Your back bothering you a little bit, is it?
You get to the age, Brady. I know you're just a young stud yet, but you'll get to the age when those things happen.
Oh, man, I got plenty of ailments myself at the right age of mid-30s, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were a little bit more physical than I was, too, you know, playing football and, you know, spending 3 years in the NFL. We're up here for the America Birkebeiner, of course, and one of the things I'm anxious to talk with you about because – you know, the cool thing, our program director, Catherine Lake, has been up here too with me this week, and we're going to hear a couple of her interviews a little bit later on with some of these athletes. And, you know, people that have every right to be salty and upset because the weather hasn't really cooperated and they've had to make snow, they've had to limit the course. They're still going to have it. But I'm telling you, Brady, people are just pumped. They're positive. You don't hear any negative stuff up here. There's people from all over the world for this thing. And some of these people just do it as recreation, but there are true professional skier athletes from all over the world. And so what I wanted to hear from you is, you know, whether you're a professional skier or whether you're a professional football player like you were, anyone who chooses to go into athletics competitively or as a profession, mm-hmm. What's that like for from the conditioning side of it, mentally, physically? What goes into really being, you know, dedicated to being a trained professional athlete?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I think there's multiple factors to consider there. So the first one that comes to my mind is, at least speaking from my perspective, is how big of a blessing it was and how cool it was to have, you know, training, taking care of your body, practicing, playing a sport or an activity that I grew up loving and enjoyed and had fun doing, to be able to do that as a career on the stage, just in the platform that the, you know, the NFL and professional athletics provides you, was just an incredible experience. But as you start to peel back some of the layers of that onion, and we've talked about it, you know, here and there through our conversations, is with that comes a lot of expectations, not only from who you're competing for, but also I think a lot of successful athletes or successful people in general put a lot of stress on and expectations on themselves, probably more so than any of the external factors. So as you look at the journey that is athletic development, you know, it's not one specific event. It's really, okay, I'm training holistically, especially when it's your profession, for this competition a year down the road, or this season a year down the road, or next season, or the Olympic. You look at Olympic athletes, I'm always absolutely amazed at the way that they train and prepare, and they compete in between the Olympics, but, you know, really for that one opportunity. And I think that kind of epitomizes, you know, quote unquote, professional athletes are competing at the highest level are those Olympic folks, because they really got to think, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road on how am I going to set myself up to be at peak condition, but more importantly, mentally, because of the challenges, and with that one opportunity being your chance, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to succeed. So not only is the physical so important, I guess where I'm getting with that is that the mental side of it is so important as well, from my experience.
Based on your own experience, and of course, having obviously known a lot of people at NFL, and I'm sure other professional sports and professional athletes as well, in your experience, Brady, what was the biggest challenge for you? And do you think in general, is it more the bigger challenge to maintain the physical preparedness or the mental preparedness?
Yeah, so my story, you know, was somewhat unique. You know, college, I was fortunate to stay fairly healthy and compete, you know, every year. And as I transitioned into the NFL, like I said, I was speaking from my own experience. So I struggled with injuries, and with injuries came frustration for me on not taking, you know, what I felt like was the best advantage of the opportunity I had to live out a dream, to, you know, set our family up with a great start in life financially, and to be a part of something like that. So I think as, you know, those challenges and that adversity came from me, you know, it taught me a ton about myself on patience and how I can improve myself, not only physically to get back out on the field, but mentally to endure those challenges as they come. So I guess they're both incredibly important, because, you know, albeit the good Lord blessed me with some amazing talent, I always tried to differentiate myself and separate myself, whether it be through my mental preparation in the playbook or, you know, physically being prepared just to compete at that level. Because at each level you go up, that the caliber of athlete is, you know, it grows exponentially, the speed of the game. And, you know, I probably physically didn't belong on the field with some of those, you know, the NFL caliber talent. And so I always had to be at my best, you know, mentally to be able to compete at that level, both at college and professional.
Well, no, come on. I saw almost every one of your college games. I mean, I think you absolutely belong in Division I football. I mean, you threw some guys around and threw some pretty good blocks and had some pretty great runs as a fullback for the Badgers. And again, I mean, you know, who knows? It's one of those things, right? Things happen in life for whatever reason, and we don't know. Had it not been for your injuries, I think you very well could have been a longer-term successful fullback in the NFL. But, you know, like you say, you were, for kind of freak things, you had ended up having season-ending injuries, and just one of those things. So, no, you don't sell your short there, sell a short, Brady. But That's a, you know, being up here, and I mean, the place has been packed downtown, the restaurants and what have you. By the way, if you ever get up to Hayward, Angler's Bar and Grill, great pizza. I'm just putting that out there. That's the spot. Angler's Bar and Grill here. And here, you'll appreciate this as Richland Center native. I ordered pizza the other night, and they said, what do you want on it? I said, ground beef and green olives. And they said, what? Ooh. I said, oh, it's like a Richland Center bowling alley thing. So I said, you know, it's one of my favorite toppings. But you want...
Or pepperoni and green olives.
Right? I think if you're not from... I don't know why people that aren't from Richland Center think green olives is weird to have on a pizza. It's fantastic. Try it. But you look at some of these people, you know, eating. And I know the Catholic Church here in town is having a big spaghetti feed tonight. And it's really popular with some of the Birkenbeiner skiers because these people have to eat huge. They're going to ski like 30 kilometers tomorrow. And the amount of you know, food they have to eat is just crazy, right? I mean, and it doesn't matter if you're a skier or a football player or other things. The amount of food you have to eat to maintain that metabolism is crazy.
It is, yeah. And I can imagine with, you know, you said 30 miles?
30 kilometers, yeah.
30 kilometers. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, people like to ask, you know, what my eating regimen, you know, consisted of when I was playing sports. And it really varied for me depending on the time of the year. And to your point, as you're preparing for competition, you know, football's a 3 hour, you know, 3.5 hour bout. Whereas a 30-kilometer race, I have no idea how long that takes, but that's probably, you know, much longer than a football game. I would imagine.
And no timeouts.
That's right. No timeouts. And I'm sure not only the pre-fuel, you know, the days leading into the competition for that is incredibly important, from making sure you have the base of, you know, carbs and a muscle glycogen and liver glycogen built up to maximum stores. But they're also fueling, I imagine, in the middle of the race, which we do a little bit, or did a little bit in football, you know, on the sideline or during halftime, eating some fruits or some gels, energy bars, things like that, just to provide a quick boost of glucose or to kind of get your blood sugar back raised up for the second half. And I'm sure they're doing that much like other endurance athletes do, you know, throughout their race, making sure that they have the right electrolytes in their waters, in their sports drinks, things like that. So it's really kind of a delicate, you know, thing. The nutrition side of it, it's so key on football. It's, you know, about weight and, you know, some of the measurements that come along with that. And for me, it was always, I had to eat a tremendous amount to keep my weight up at that 240, 245 range where they wanted kind of their Wisconsin stereotypical fullback, which was a struggle for me. So when I started eating normal, my weight dropped down to like 210, 205, and it's been good ever since.
Well, it's I don't want to call it funny, but I mean, it's just interesting, whether it's you or whether it's a guy like Joe Thomas. I mean, when after you guys left the NFL, I mean, it's like, oh my God, they just, you know, it's a marked difference in your physical appearance.
Yeah, there's guys that, you know, I feel like it's either one end of the spectrum or the other. Some guys struggle to keep their weight down, you know, where others, they're always pushing that envelope to try to get their weight up to where they want to be for a playing weight. And Joe Thomas is a tremendous example of that. You look at the way he's changed his diet and the way he still works out and keeps his body active. I mean, that guy, he was a specimen when he was playing, but I mean, look at the guy now. Unbelievable.
Lean, mean fighting machine. And now he's in the cattle business. You know, has these great steaks and everything. So maybe we'll talk about that sometime. It is 46 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We were talking to Brady Ewing, the three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football, spent 3 years in the NFL. Brady, I want to take a couple of minutes here to talk quickly about college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers been struggling here a little bit down the stretch. They got a nice win over Maryland this week and trying to get back and continue the winning streak here over the weekend as well. We'll see what happens there. But meanwhile, Marquette, right number 7, and they're truly have their goals set on a Final Four. Any thoughts on either the Badgers or the Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched the Marquette Golden Eagles much. I know, I think the Badgers beat them earlier in the year. I think that was the only game I had watched them play. But the ebbs and the flows of a season, especially, you know, a basketball season, or other, you know, seasons that have 20, 30 plus games, you're going to have that. You're going to have peaks and valleys. Would I have wanted the skid that they just hopefully are coming out of to be, you know, 2 to 3 games, you know, 1, 2, 3 games? Absolutely. But I think those opportunities are chances to refocus and re-identify yourself. I'm always, you know, to go undefeated is awesome. Sure, that's great. Mm-hmm. But to have some challenge and adversity to refocus you, to recenter you as a team, you know, to get some different players in there, to get some experience and find who's clicking at this point in the season, I think that's important, especially leading into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. Yeah. They still, I mean, the Badgers are playing, when they're clicking and they're playing great basketball, you know, they're moving the ball around. Yeah. There's multiple guys that can hurt you both from outside or in the paint. You know, Klesman, I'm not saying anything earth shattering here, but Klesman's stepped up a ton. You know, Asesian's starting to, you know, shoot a little bit better on and off, you know, Prowl inside and Tyler Wall inside is just, you know, his confidence and strength this year at Tyler Wall has been impressive.
I'm so glad you brought up Connor Asesian because I mean, here's a kid that could have very easily, when he kind of got, not benched, but I mean, he got replaced in the starting lineup at the beginning of the season because he needed to work on his defense. He could have just quit. He could have said, you know what, I'm going to go to the transfer portal and that's it. Instead, he's really hunkered down. He's listened to the coaching and he's fought his way back and gotten a lot more minutes. And I just think I'm really proud and happy for Connor Asesian.
Absolutely. I literally thought of that as well here the last couple games. As he's gotten more minutes. Does he want more minutes? I'm sure he does. Does he think he can help? He does, but he's continued to, at least from the outside, grind at it, take the coaching, and contribute in different ways than he was last year. You know, Chucky Hepburn, too. His role has
Hey, I'm Brady. We're going to come back and talk to you on the other side. Find out what Brady Ewing is up to outside of sports these days. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show for a Friday, the 23rd of February, 2024, here live in Hayward, Wisconsin, covering the Birkebeiner, the 50th anniversary Birkebeiner event here in Hayward. More on that next hour. We'll be hearing from some of the skiers, some of the athletes next hour here, courtesy of our very own Catherine Lake, who caught up with some of those people on the streets of Hayward here the last couple of days. Right now we are talking to Brady Ewing, native of Richland Center, like myself, as a three, oh, well, he's a native of Richland Center. I am not a three-time Big Ten champion, but Brady is. He was also captain of the Badger football team, a co-captain, and then spent 3 years in the NFL. Brady, I really appreciate you, as always, joining us on a bi-weekly basis here. I wanted to take a few minutes, and we'll continue this conversation, I think, in later appearances, but you've been doing something with your experience, and one of the things, one of the many things I've always admired about you is you've constantly given back to others. You've constantly given back to Wisconsin and our community of Richland Center, Richland County in Southwest Wisconsin. Tell folks what you're up to these days in terms of taking your experience and helping to bring that story to other people.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. It's it is something I'm passionate about. I've been blessed with the tremendous experiences of living out a dream and having fun doing it, meeting some amazing people, you know, having enduring some challenge and adversity along the way. And, you know, practically I'm sharing those experiences in some of the coaching I'm doing. We've talked about that at the high school level with the high school football team here in Richland Center. So that's been amazing, and still working with them in the weight room and trying to instill those messages and some of that experience in them on a day-to-day basis, but also looking to do more, you know, speaking type engagements or, you know, personal coaching type things. So I've done some in the past and have some on the calendar here for this coming year, but really much like we talked about earlier today is how can, you know, take some of the experiences I've had and been fortunate to experience, some of the people I've met and seen have success, and some of the things that I've done myself, and share that with others, whether that be, you know, high school athletic departments, sports teams, businesses, and just provide some of those stories and those perspectives on, you know, what I've seen and in others around me that have been successful, along with experience myself, to hopefully you know, shed some light on that and bring encouragement and inspiration to others. So I've been fortunate that there's people have been receptive to that in the past and excited to continue to make a impact one person at a time.
Well, I'm just so excited for you, and I'm so happy for you for this. And anybody listening across the state of Wisconsin or any place else, if you want to hire someone to come in and be authentic, and I think that's the one of the best things about you, Brady, is that you're authentic. You lay it all out there, whether it's your faith, whether it's your family, whether it's your experience in athletics, both the good and the bad. You don't hold back. And I think that anytime you're authentic, anybody is authentic, I think that's a connection. So I would encourage people, if you're looking for someone to come in and make your organization better, make yourself better, reach out to Brady and hire him because you're a great man. And where can people find you, Brady, if they want to reach out and bring you in?
Oh, man, that's you can hit me up on LinkedIn, I guess, would be a fine spot. Twitter as well. I think I'm putting more thought on how I can actually, you know, get a website out there and have a more of a formal presence in the space as things continue to grow. But right now it's more of a grassroots effort, in the word out there and word of mouth on some referrals and things like that. So, but those would be two avenues right now. And I'm sure they could probably call your guys' show and we can get in contact that way as well. If you might be open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. People can find Brady on the Twitter, or as Craig Ferguson likes to call it, the Twix, because it's not Twitter or X, we call it Twix.
Yeah, sorry.
it's B Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, 34, which of course was his number when he was with Wisconsin Badgers. So B is a boy, Ewing, 34, on the Twix there, Twitter. Or you can also reach out on LinkedIn, as he said. And the first name is B-R-A-D-I-E. B-R-A-D-I-E, Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, and hit him up or reach out here at the Todd Allball Show and we'll connect you because I know you're kind of just starting out on this venture, Brady, but I'm really, it takes a lot of courage, right, to step out and put yourself out there. And, you know, what we need, I think, in this time of divisiveness in our country are people, and I'm reminded of this. I talked about this with my colleague, Catherine Lake, this week. You come up here, and you meet all these athletes and you're around them and you're at the bars and the restaurants and people are having a good time. And you know what? No one's asking you who you vote for. No one asks you if you have a red hat or a blue hat. You're here to compete and just celebrate humanity. And I think that when people listen to your story, you know, it's a unifying story and it's an empowering story. And I think that's great.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah. That's 100% true. And when I reflect on my time at Wisconsin or, you know, with Atlanta, Jacksonville, you look at the guys that come together in the locker room and chase one common goal. And I'm actually getting goosebumps as cliche as that sounds right now, but
no,
the way you kind of framed that up was great. So as you look at the guys that come together, the different cultures, the different backgrounds, the different colors of skin, you know, the different belief system, everybody comes together. And for, you know, the 7-8 hours of that day, for the most part, set that aside and pursue one common goal together. And each of us have our roles within that team to accomplish that goal. Whether it's we've talked about kickers before, whether it's the kickers and the impact they have on the game, or a fullback like myself, or a running back, quarterback, everybody has different roles. And to set that aside for a common goal is a huge life lesson, whether that's in an organization you're working with or just being a good person in general. You know, treat people how you want to be treated and with respect. Do we differ on some foundational things? Always. That's what makes the world go round, is that people have different perspectives. And the more we can talk about that and develop relationships with the people that we're dealing with that might have those different perspectives, it brings total context to this world in general. And I've been fortunate to experience that through some of my athletic endeavors and business endeavors and elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing, Brady, and you nailed it on the head. There is more that unifies us, that divides us. And the more that we can have people like you out there spreading that word, the more we can focus on that. I think it just benefits our community. It benefits our state. It benefits our nation and our world because, I think that's one of the reasons I love running out of time. But one of the reasons I love sports, Brady, is because When you all focus together on one goal, it's amazing what the human body, mind, and a team can do.
Yeah, it's encouraging. And I'm thankful I've been a part of some awesome teams to do that through the years. It's been great.
Well, we're thankful to have you along. Brady Ewing, for the former Wisconsin Badger and NFL player. He joins us every other Friday. You can reach out to him as well on LinkedIn or Twitter. Give him a ring-a-ling. You know, your life will be better for it. Brady, we're always better for you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, my friend. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks,
Be
Todd.
Back with our pleasure. Be back on the other side with hour number two.